Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin iti namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I am sincerely grateful to be among everyone today. My special gratitude to the organizers of this wonderful event and to each and every one of you who have given your precious time to be here. The title of this conference is Journey to Joy. Everyone in life is on this journey, taking various paths. Everyone is seeking pleasure. It is something that we all have in common. The idea of unity in diversity is an essential truth in order to find and inspire peace within ourself and within the world around us. In order to really appreciate all the diversity there is in the world, it is important to understand the unity that is foundational to life itself. Everyone is seeking pleasure. From the little ant that's crawling on the kitchen cabinet, to the rat that's lurking in the city alleyways, the monkeys and the trees of the jungles. And the insect that's drinking our blood, and every variety of humanity. Everyone is seeking pleasure. It's common. From a spiritual perspective, we wonder and study why we all have this in common. The Vedanta Sutra tells Anandamayo Bhyashat that the essential truth of the soul and of the supreme soul is to enjoy pleasure. We have a physical body. We have an ever-changing mind. We have a very fastidious ego. But the witness, the true person that is experiencing life is the spirit. It is the soul. The Sanskrit texts tell us that the nature of the soul, It is Sat Chit Ananda. Beyond birth and death, it is eternal. Inherently, it's filled with essential knowledge. And most important, in and of ourselves, in our connection to the Supreme Self or God, we are filled with ananda or pleasure. Ananda mayo pyashat. When in this material experience we forget who we truly are and what we really want, we fall into the complications of dualities, because this entire material creation is built on the principle of dualities. And you cannot have one without the other. Like a coin has a heads and a tails. You cannot say, I want the head, but not the tails. If you pick up the coin, you get both. There's happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, pleasure and pain, love and hate, success and failure, victory and defeat, health and disease. This is material nature. The spiritual path is teaching us to find the happiness that we're seeking in that place that is natural to the soul, beyond the dualities of this material nature. We cannot always change the situations we're in, how people treat us, or the environment. But we always do have the opportunity to choose to change ourselves. As Sister Shivani has so wonderfully presented these very deep universal truths, she explained how this inner change is the universal principle that all spiritual paths have in common. In the Holy Bible, Lord Jesus tells, what profiteth a person who gains the whole world but loses their eternal soul? The spiritual connection that we make is available to everyone if we choose to do so. How to adjust to a situation according to how we can grow and best serve. In California, they have a sport called surfing, where people go on boards and they try to ride on top of waves. You cannot control the wave, but you can do two things. Keep the goal of your destination, which is the shore, and at every moment, adjust ourselves to whatever the wave is doing, and whatever wave comes, keep adjusting ourselves so that we can move forward. On a ship that's in the middle of the ocean, there is a compass. There is the North Star. These are signs that help us to always, in any situation, move in the direction that we really feel is the meaningful purpose of life. When a little baby first starts growing teeth, it's actually very painful. The baby cries. But for the parents, they feel the baby's pain, but at the same time, they know it's part of growing. And after the pain passes and the teeth grow, then their child will have nice teeth to enjoy eating so much food and becoming nourished in so many ways. The spiritual science teaches us how to adjust our perception and how we respond to situations in such a way that we're always finding the opportunity to grow. We're always coming closer to our own soul and to God. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells that real intelligence is to understand and apply to life the idea that real happiness, real enlightenment is within ourselves. The Bhagavad Gita tells, Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvalokameheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantimrichchati. That real peace is to understand that the Supreme God, the Father, the Mother of all living beings, the source of everything, the ultimate object of love and the ultimate lover, that Supreme Being is the proprietor of everything. This entire creation is God's property. Therefore, Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam, everything is inherently sacredness. Do we recognize its sacredness? Whatever spiritual path we may be on, if these essential goals are not strived for and connected with, then we're not really going in the right direction. The environment is not ours to exploit. The environment is sacred property that not only belongs to God, but is inherited by everyone, all living beings. To live in harmony with that principle is so very important. And this verse in the Gita tells that that Supreme Being, who we call Krishna, who has many names, is the eternal well-wisher of everyone. Aham bija pratapita. Everyone is a child of the Supreme. To recognize that and to live in harmony with that spirit is seva, or divine service. When we apply these principles to our life, then we can achieve real peace. Why? Because that is our nature. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani kabhi hastini suni chaiva svapake cha pandita samadarshana. To the degree we understand who we really are, we understand who everyone else is. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita tells that the testament of enlightenment is not just how many verses we know, or how many followers we have, or how many pujas we perform, or how much charity we give. the real testimony of enlightenment is to the extent we can perceive the equality of all life. When we understand our own soul, we can understand and we can love the soul in all living beings. And the Gita tells whether that person is an elephant or a dog or a cat or an insect, or whether that person is a human who may be black or white or red or yellow or brown, maybe rich or poor, from the east or the west, maybe a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew or a Buddhist or a Jain or a Sikh, or an agnostic or an atheist. These are all temporary stages within our life. But the Sanatan Dharma, the eternal principle, is that we are all eternal souls that are filled with inherent love for God. A particular verse, when I heard it, I dedicated my entire life to the principle of that verse. It's from the Bhagavad Purana. Savaipung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktirat hokshichi. Ahoitaki aprati hata yayatma suprasidati. The supreme dharma. Dharma is sometimes translated as religion, occupation, nature. The supreme dharma is that which awakens from within us love for the supreme being. That love needs to be unmotivated by selfishness or egoism. And it needs to be unconditional, not dependent on external circumstances. Then this love completely satisfies the heart, the soul, the self. It's this love that ultimately everyone is seeking, but we're trying to find it in so many substitutes which distract us from its real place within our hearts. Things, power, acquisition, physical experiences of gratification, they can give some flickering amount of satisfaction to the body, the mind, but they do not give satisfaction to the heart. The sitting place for real happiness is in our hearts. To love and to be loved. It is only that love that gives fulfillment to the heart. The origin of that love is the all-beautiful, supreme grace of God. Krishna's love for us. This is at the very essence of spirituality. The Bible tells in the Old Testament and the New Testament that the first and great commandment is to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, with all our power. And what is the natural expression of that connection? We love our neighbor as ourself. because we recognize in God's love who we really are. Nothing and no one can ever take that love away from us. And really, that's all we need. Not disease, not social conditions, not even death can take that love away from us. It is who we are. It is the ultimate blessing that is forever given to us. When we make that connection, then karuna, then the purpose of our life and everything we do is to be an instrument of that love that we call compassion. Compassion is not just an idea. It's not just a thought. It's a way of life. And I have seen monks, swamis, priests. I've seen farmers and students, business people, industrialists, politicians. I've seen people who make this spirit of compassion their purpose in life, integrating God's love into everything they do. That is truly the art of living on the journey to joy. The idea of bhakti is universal, and it's very much at the essence of so many traditions. It's to find God's love within ourself. And it doesn't stay there. As long as we're embodied in this world, it becomes the joy of our life to share that love. It's the nature of love as we want to make our loved ones happy. Para dukkha dukkhi. To feel the pain of another, to feel for the sufferings of others, and to feel the happiness of others, and to be happy in their happiness is what happens when we make that inner connection to the love of the soul. Selfishness is transformed into selfless service. Arrogance is transformed into humility. Indifference is transformed into compassion. We care. A spiritual path is a life of activism. But that activism is not based on any sectarian, divisive idea. It's based on the perception of the unity of life, of the sacredness of God's creation, and the sacredness of the inherent brotherhood and sisterhood of all beings. Today we are being connected through this internet. Through various types of frequencies and vibrations. We are all connected throughout the world. But it takes someone to actually log in to make that connection. Vineet sent me this Zoom link, and because I chose to make this connection, we could all be together. The idea of mantra, of bandana, of prayer, of puja, of rendering loving service and worship, of seva, all of these spiritual practices are ways of connecting to the spiritual nature of ourself. Man means the mind. Trayate is Sanskrit. It means to liberate. A mantra is a sound vibration which liberates the mind from all of its misconceptions and frustrations and depressions and arrogance and anxiety. How does it do so? By, through sound vibration, reconnecting us to our own eternal living force, our soul, who we are. And in that connection, connecting us to the beauty, the sweetness, and the love of the all-pervading grace of God. When we tune in, then whether we're sleeping, as Sister Shivani was explaining so nicely, or whether we're working, whether we're speaking, whatever, we are emitting that love. We are motivated by that love. The Bhagavad Gita tells that selfish desires, kama, it's like fire. It's burning in our minds. And the more fuel you put on the fire, the hungrier the fire becomes. We need to find that place within ourselves that activates real happiness. Then we become activists. On the spiritual path, the journey within and our service, our activism into the world are inseparable. Because how we treat others, how we live in a spirit of compassion, how we live in harmony with the idea that every living being is a child of God, and all creation, the environment is God's gift. That very much determines how we connect to the soul within ourselves. At the same time, sadhana, a spiritual practice, is essential so that we can experience the truth of the reality of that eternal love that's within us. Satsang, to be with people who inspire us with faith in the direction that we want to go in our life. Sadhana, to put some sacred, special time aside every day to cultivate our inner awareness. In my tradition, we chant mantras, we chant God's names to tune in to God's grace. and then sadachar. Then to live in harmony with those ideas by living with character, with integrity. And seva, to speak and to act with compassion as our goal of life. How I can be an instrument of compassion to all beings as far as possible is success, is wealth. It's not just how much we have or how much control we can exercise. Those things are flickering, they're coming and they're going, and they only burn our hearts. They don't give pleasure to the heart. The more we care about others, the more we want to find the treasures of God's grace within us to give to others. Satsang, to be with like-minded people who inspire us toward our goal. Sadhana, to give that time every day for that journey within ourselves through our spiritual practice. Sadachar, to live with goodness, with integrity, with character. Seva, to integrate the spirit of compassion to help others in whatever we do. It's a simple formula. I'm just going to end with a little story. The journey to joy. My very beloved brother and friend, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. He lived his life in this internal journey, and his way of expressing it through so much social activism to help others, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. In the last stage of his life on this earth, he had cancer. He was emaciated. He had a limb that was amputated. I had the very good fortune, the blessing to be with him during those last weeks. And I'm remembering one day we were sitting on chairs next to each other in his room. And on that day, the cancer was causing such profound pain. It seemed to be right in his bones, and his limbs were shaking. And usually we would discuss spiritual subjects, revealing our hearts to one another. But on this day, I could see that he wasn't focused. The pain was so much. So we began to chant. We began to chant this Maha Mantra together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And what I saw before my eyes changed my life forever. His eyes glistened in ecstasy. The smile on his face blossomed in a way that practically lit up the room, and it seemed to be lighting up the world. And he looked at me and shook his head and said, "It doesn't get any better than this." He said, "We are there." He said, "Today in this situation, I am tasting God's love so deeply. I'm tasting the sweetness of God's grace in the sound of this mantra. I wouldn't trade my situation for anyone." He was praying that everyone in the world could experience what he was experiencing. It was beyond all sectarian boundaries. It was the universal principle of the awakening of the love of the soul. And it was happening in the most diseased, painful, and materially hopeless condition. Because he was to leave his body within days after this. But he had achieved the destination of the journey of joy, because he was experiencing God's love within himself, even in the most difficult circumstance. We learn from such people that this spiritual love that saints have been speaking about for millenniums, it's not just an idea, it's reality. It's the reality of your life, of my life, of all life. To integrate this reality, the journey to joy, the joy of being an instrument of God's love. It may be hard, it may be easy, things change. But we all have the opportunity in all situations to focus our consciousness on this, and then our perception of everything transforms, and in every situation, we grow and we progress. Another dear friend and brother of mine, Sridhar Swami Maharaj, he was on his deathbed. And I remember he said, in this world, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. When we have a strong spiritual foundation, whatever storms come around us, it cannot shake the integrity, the character of how we live, and the joy we want to share in our lives. I'm so very grateful for this opportunity to share some thoughts with all of you. Thank you very much.